The Bible says in Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer welcoming you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We are located just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, and I'd like to invite you to come out and be with us in any or all of our services. You can find out all the information you'd like to from our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. And I would like to welcome all of our listeners today on AM 1450 WATA and also on AM 690 WZAP. Noah is not here today. Yesterday was his 18th birthday, so I'd like to wish him a belated 18th birthday. Of course, he won't hear that. He's in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Cedar Point Amusement Park. And that's a place, I think they've got the tallest and the fastest roller coaster in the world. So he's away for a few days with friends, a family that we have known for many years, and so they're away together. But Dave Blanks is here.
Hey!
Good morning, Dave.
What's happening? I'm excellent. I hope you are.
Yes. Have you been?
Oh, not too bad.
Not too bad.
Yeah, still working and still trying to squeeze the last bit of summer I can out of these remaining days, I guess.
I know.
Doesn't it feel like fall almost?
I told my wife, I said, I slept the best last night I had in a long time.
Really?
Because it wasn't hot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just been so hot.
It has been pretty sweltering, yeah.
I know. Yeah. All of our local listeners know Dave, because he works here at the radio station. What's your official title, by the way?
Well, I'm in the production department, and then I'm on the afternoons on Mix 102.3.
Right.
Yeah. Utility player.
Everything.
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff.
Back cleanup.
Exactly.
Designated hitter, all that
all
stuff.
Of it. Lead off. All of them.
Our listeners on WZAP, they won't recognize you, I don't guess.
No, hello WZAP listeners. Nice to talk to you.
Yep, that's in Bristol, Virginia.
All right.
And the station over there. But I was thinking about that. Dave works here, but he was on at the very beginning. We started the Blessings of Liberty in July of 2008. It was the week of the 4th.
Or has it been that long? Really?
Yeah, it's been 2 years now. Over 2 years, a little bit over 2 years.
Wow.
So probably we worked together for a year or more,
mm-hmm.
and Noah started coming in with me. Just
right.
He was homeschooled. Thank the Lord he's graduated now. But, you know, he came and he would watch and got interested and started working here at the radio station.
Yeah.
One thing led to another. And so... to help out the ministry aspect of Blessings of Liberty, he started doing the board op, and that saved us a little money on the production side.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've had a lot of local people, they say, what happened to Dave? So I would explain the situation there.
Like we had a falling out or
yes,
something like that.
we did not have a falling out. We just...
no, we're still buds.
Yeah, we see each other every Tuesday and talk and... text and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're here today and Dave's sitting in on the production side, and I certainly appreciate him coming in and doing that. And today we come to the last of the 28 founding principles. And for the over, well, I started actually last December giving the foundation and the background, and then in January I started in the book of the 5,000-year leap, going through the 28 founding principles as found in that book. And since then, since January, every week, and we've missed just a couple for different things we've had going on, special guests and so forth, but pretty much since January, we've taken one of these founding principles every week, a scriptural principle, a historical example, and a present-day application. And we've done that over and over and over with each of these principles, with the thesis or the question, is America really a Christian nation? And taking those principles, and, you know, if it is, then our founding principles will have a scriptural foundation. And everyone, without a doubt, we found, yes, there's a scriptural principle. We gave the historical example and then try to give a present day application. But today we're looking at what is entitled or known as manifest destiny. And the 5,000 year leap says this about manifest destiny. The United States has a manifest destiny to be an example and a blessing to the entire human race. And that is what the definition in the book for manifest destiny is. The United States has a manifest destiny to be an example and a blessing to the entire human race. Now, I studied this subject out, and of course, you know, I look at history, and I Googled it, and what I found out was very interesting. The way that our founders viewed their destiny and the way it is viewed today is not the same. Most who think of manifest destiny, I know, Dave, Dave's one of the few people I know that can quote from memory the preamble to the Constitution.
That does not make me any kind of expert at all. It just means I paid attention in Ms. Steck's fifth grade class.
Well, Ms. Deck?
Steck.
Steck. Well,
Steck.
Thank God for her.
Thank God for Ms. Steck. She's a wonderful lady, yeah.
But
all I knew of manifest destiny was westward expansion. That's the way that I understood it, and thought it was just kind of a precept that's kind of put on the shelf when we made it to California, I guess, and over to the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you Google manifest destiny, of course, the top 10 comes up. Now, that's not necessarily the top 10 in popularity, but it's a top. How does that work, Dave?
I don't know.
Some of them pay to get at the top.
Sometimes it groups it based on stuff that you've looked at previously. So something that you Google won't come up the same results that somebody else Googles
right.
on their computer. But anyway, yeah, sometimes they do pay for content rich.
I think Wikipedia. Pretty much always comes up at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia, which I'm not saying this is the greatest resource to look at, but
right.
this is probably the one that most people would look at.
That's what popped up when I
Googled
it too. Yeah,
okay.
Wikipedia. Yeah.
Their definition said manifest destiny was the 19th century American belief that the United States was destined to expand across the North American continent. And that was number one. Number five, it said this. This was interesting. It said the doctrine of manifest destiny is one of America's greatest exports, killing off indigenous peoples worldwide since the 1800s. So you get some political correct, which is incorrect, actually, but that was from a Politics and Society website that I found that on. Now, I certainly do not agree with that, but I see where that thought comes from. And the thought there is, you know, some people would say manifest destiny, that's just killing off all the Indians and the Mexico and the French and everybody else and sort of bullying our way across America and in the name of God. That's the political, that's probably what a lot of is taught in your higher education and things of that nature. I don't agree with that, but I see where that thought comes from because I'm enough of a student of history to know that, of course, our government has never done everything perfect. And anybody that would say that is just blindly ignoring the facts. For example, a couple of years ago, we went to Oklahoma and I preached out there for a missionary friend of mine. And we went to the Choctaw Nation Museum. And they had an exhibit in there about the Trail of Tears and what actually happened when the government moved the Cherokee and the Choctaw, moved them out west. And I forget how they exhibited it. I think it was pieces of corn in a display on a glass. But anyway, for every one that was there was how many thousand Indians died along the way on the Trail of Tears. And I'll tell you, the government did the Indians wrong. And, I mean, they starved, they froze, they tried to move them out there, and they didn't make provisions to get them across the Mississippi River. And, I mean, just thousands of them died along the way. Well, God's not in that, and I'm not saying that that he was, but I'm saying all that to say this, the only way to really understand manifest destiny is to go back and let the actual people explain it themselves, what they felt when they came to America. For example, the 144 or so pilgrims that came to America in 1620, a little known tidbit of history is that when they came, you know, they didn't foot the bill themselves. They came, they had a job to do. They were actually hired by the Virginia Company to come to America, to come to the New World, and to establish a colony. And a company called the Virginia Company supplied the boat, but they, as a body of people, they had to apply to do this. And they had to give the reasons, you know, we as a group of people, we're willing to go, we're willing to do this, we believe we're the best fitted for the job. They had to submit what we would call a resume to the Virginia Company. It had to be approved by James the First. And so, of course, I believe in divine providence. You know, they didn't land in Virginia, they landed up north, and there's a lot of things that I don't have time to get into today, but in their original charter that they submitted to the Virginia Company why they wanted to come to the New World, they said this. They said, now, of course, one reason was to escape religious persecution, but they said in their charter, the preamble to their charter, they said one of the reasons was the propagating of Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness and miserable ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God. They wanted to come to spread the gospel, and they wanted to, they realized there were people here that did not know about true Christianity, and they wanted to share it. They wanted to come, as it would be proper to say, the original missionaries to this country. But I say that to say this, they didn't come to take over, they came to be peaceable. Every year at Thanksgiving, we celebrate, you know, and it's supposed remembered that the pilgrims and the Indians sat down together and they were friendly to begin with. Another example I wanted to share today was from a message, a sermon preached in 1783 by Ezra Stiles. Ezra Stiles was the president of Yale University. And he preached a message from Genesis chapter 9 in verse number 27, where the Bible says there, God shall enlarge Japheth. Now, Japheth was Noah's youngest son. There were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And I don't have time to explain it all today, but Shem is where the Semitic or the Jewish people come from. Ham is where the dark people came from. He migrated south from where Noah's Ark landed, and that just flew my mind. I can't remember, but in the region of Turkey. Man, my mind went blank, and Dave's thinking too. Maybe he can find it over there. They migrated south into Africa, Egypt, that area of the world, and Japheth, he is the father of the Indo-European people. Merrill's Archaeology of the Old Testament explains the different groups.
Mount Ararat. Sorry.
And Merrill's explains where the peoples, this is where the question, where do the different races come from? The white, the black, the yellow, all of these things. Well, it would be found in the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Anyway, Mr. Stiles, he preached this message, this sermon in 1783, and just a few comments I'm going to share with you. He was saying this about America. He said, heaven has provided this country for the reception of a new enlargement of Japheth. The name Japheth means enlargement or expansion, and they believe that this was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 27, where the Bible says, God shall enlarge Japheth. He said, Europe was settled by Japheth. America is settling from Europe. He said, the United States, he said, can we contemplate their present and not be struck with astonishment to find ourselves in the midst of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Noah? May we not see that we are the object which the Holy Ghost had in view 4,000 years ago? And so the predominant belief in America at that time was that the whole undertaking of what we call America and what they called America at that time, the whole undertaking was by the hand of Providence. And they spell that Providence with a capital P, meaning that God had led them here and God had blessed them in their endeavors, that they weren't here by accident, but that God had led them here and they had a job to do. I want to share with you a paragraph or two from a history book I've got entitled What Hath God Wrought? And it is by Dr. William Grady. I've met Dr. Grady. He is he's a great man of God. This is a biblical interpretation of American history, and it is full of references. Anybody that is interested in this subject, you would like this book. But anyway, he has a quote in here from a historian, Daniel J. Boorstin, and the name of his history book was The Genius of American Politics, 1953. But here's what Mr. Boorstin said about America. He said there was something extraordinary about the appearance within the European orbit of a continent which for millennia had been unknown to the civilized world. Just then, North America was discovered, and he quotes de Tocqueville, which I've quoted him many times here on the radio broadcast. He said, as if it had been kept in reserve by the deity and had just risen from beneath the waters of the deluge. What had been God's purpose in concealing the vast American continent from European eyes until so long after the creation? Moreover, what was God's purpose in suddenly revealing this continent, in making it accessible in their particular epoch or their time? Why did God keep this great continent from being inhabited in large by anybody? I realize there were people here had come and gone down through history. That's been proven. But it had never been inhabited by and large. He goes on down. He said about the original pilgrims coming to this country. He said they recalled the prophecy of Jesus in Matthew 24:27, where he described the progress of the gospel as the lightning that shone from the east into the west. God means to carry his gospel westward in these latter times of the world, declared the author of New England's First Fruits, and have thought as the sun in the afternoon of the day still declines more and more to the west and then sets, so the gospel, that great light of the world, though it rose in the east and in former ages hath lightened it with his beams, yet in the latter ages of the world will bend westward and before its setting brighten these parts with his glorious luster also. That America was west thus became a dramatic coincidence, and even the points of the compass took on a theological import. And so we see here that the people who came to this continent, first of all, the pilgrims, and then later on the Puritans and many other people, they believed that it was in fulfillment of Scripture. That as Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24:27 about even the lightning shining from the east into the west, that even that was a prophecy showing that the gospel would go from the east to the west and how that the Lord had raised up this great nation of ours. Now, a lot of people ask the question, they say, well, is America to be found in the Bible? I've been asked that many times. There have been untold numbers of books written about this subject, some very elaborate. I've read a lot of things along these lines, but really, you certainly don't find the words United States or America in the Bible. I think the closest we can come to seeing this is in the prophecy of Genesis chapter number 9 and the enlargement of Japheth. I've studied that out. I certainly believe that is a picture of the enlargement of the European people in the end times. And of course, that would include America. And I don't have time to get into it today, but I also believe we see America in Revelation chapter number 3, where it talks about the church at Philadelphia. And I've talked about before how that Philadelphia, and it's no accident that the first capital of America was not Washington, D.C. It was Philadelphia. Philadelphia means brotherly love. From America, more missionaries, more Bibles, more preachers, more churches than any other nation in the world. And Jesus said to that church at Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, "Behold, I've set before thee an open door." And so I do believe we see America in prophecy in the Bible in these instances. But I wanted to share another historian. This man is named John Fiske. This is from the 5,000-year leap. He said this about America. He said the founding of America. He said they believed that they were doing a wonderful thing. They felt themselves to be instruments in accomplishing a kind of manifest destiny. There's that word. He said their exodus, talking about from Europe, was that of a chosen people who were at length to lay the everlasting foundations of God's kingdom upon earth. This steadfast faith in an unseen ruler and guide was to them a pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night. It was of great moral value. It gave them clearness of purpose and concentration of strength and contributed towards making them, like the children of Israel, a people of indestructible vitality and aggressive energy. And Washington, he referred to this. In fact, I believe that just about every president for several generations in their inaugural address and their speeches, they would refer to this manifest destiny, the hand of God. God led us here. God blessed us during the Revolutionary War, and et cetera, et cetera. John Adams said this, and I'm referring back to what they believed their purpose was when they came. John Adams said this. He said, "I always consider the settlement of America with reverence and wonder as the opening of a grand scene and design in Providence." And he capital P there. They're referring, when they say Providence with a capital P, they're referring to the hand of God, that they believe that God led them here. He said, "In design in Providence for the illumination of the ignorant and the emancipation of the slavish part of mankind all over the earth." I wanted to read one more. John Jay. John Jay was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and he was also America's first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And John Jay was a committed Christian. John Jay said this, "With equal pleasure, I have often taken notice that Providence," and once again with a capital P, "Providence has been pleased to give this one connected country to one united people, a people descended from the same ancestors, speaking the same language, professing the same religion, attached to the same principles of government, very similar in their manners and customs, and who by their joint counsels, arms, and efforts, fighting side by side throughout a long and bloody war, have nobly established their general liberty and independence." And so he refers to several things there that today would be considered very politically incorrect. One people, one religion, by their arms and a bloody conflict, they established their general liberty and independence. I was thinking about John Jay and his thoughts on the subject and him being the first Chief Justice and how he would be construed today as he would probably be censured by his peers because of his thoughts that we were a people of one religion. Now, he's referring there to the Christian religion. You can't read his writings or anybody else and get anything other than that. They weren't Muslims. They weren't Buddhist. They weren't a lot of other religions that were out there. They got their religion from the Bible. They would put themselves, no matter their denomination, they would put themselves under the classification of religion. And I was thinking about how he would be construed today. I don't know how many people are familiar with it, but in Forsyth County, for several years now, they're having a court battle down there over the opening of their town commission meetings with prayer. And I was reading about this yesterday. I don't know, Dave, if you are familiar with it.
No, fill me in.
In Forsyth County, the county commissioners, they have a policy in the community. If you are a religious leader in the community, you can come first come basis, and they just take them in order of people who volunteer. This is in Forsyth County. First come, first serve basis. If you volunteer to come and pray and you are a religious leader in the community, you can come and open up the commissioners' meetings in prayer. And they don't screen them. They don't screen their prayers. They don't ask them what church they're from or anything like that. It is a open door policy. Well, they've been in court and they just lost the first round. I think it was the fourth. I'll mess that up if I try to say which court it was. But anyway, they lost the first round. And what the court said was that the commissioners, although their policy was open to anybody, that they should be promoting non-sectarian prayers. And they said that there were too many Christians that were coming to pray. And so what they ought to say when they say non-sectarian, they ought to say, you just can't pray in Jesus' name, because that's what it's all about. But anyway, I think they're going to fight it further and go further. But hey, if that's the people that lives in the community and that's the ones that volunteer to come and pray, where is it the place of the government to tell them they can't pray in Jesus' name? And that is exactly what they're doing. Our nation is so far gone from the way that we were founded that it's totally convoluted, turned around, messed up. What's that saying? The inmates are running the asylum. It's just so far away from where we used to be. But John Jay said that we were descendants of one religion and one people. And goodness, things are messed up. Next week, time's quickly going by today. Next week, what I want to do is a summary of the 28 founding principles, sort of go back through quickly. There's 28 founding principles we've looked at over the past 8 or 9 months. And what I want to do, what I've been thinking about, is looking at these principles as pillars. You know, a pillar is a support in a building. And if these pillars, if they are our supports, which made our nation great, I want to go back through quickly. I'm going to try to do this. This is going to be a big undertaking for next week. But I want to try to go back through those 28 founding principles and see just how many are still standing today. Now, you know as well as I do, if you start knocking down the supports of a building, you can knock out maybe part of a wall or maybe one whole wall. But you go around and you start knocking down the pillars, it's not long until the whole thing falls down. And so we're going to look at these 28 founding principles. If you've not been able to be with us the whole time, you'll get sort of a summary next week. But I want to look and take a quick look and see how many of these are still standing. And I'll tell you, manifest destiny is turned upside down on its head. America is no longer a blessing to the world. I mean, we are in some aspects, but in many we're not. And because one thing, our economy, and I talked about this last week, the burden of debt makes us slaves, but our economy is going to hurt a lot of other nations in the world. We've sort of gotten away. We've very much gotten away from how it ought to be. Isaiah 59:14, the Bible says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." And that's where we are today. Now, our time is quickly getting gone today. We do want to encourage you to go to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. We would love to hear from you. There's a contact us on there, and we so appreciate you listening in. Dave, thanks for coming in and filling in today.
Thank you, Wynn.
Yes,
this has been Blessings of Liberty.